When are we getting our Dr. Colonel Jr. spinoff series? Pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO Riverdale. I'm one of your hosts, Louie Pearlman.
I'm the other host, Kate Vatter.
Yes, we're the two hosts, just in case you didn't know. This is our 41st episode.
Yes. No?
Which, yes, it is. Which means that we've been driven to madness by the show that is Riverdale.
Yes.
And especially this episode, the much heralded flashback episode.
Yep.
To the nebulous 80s/90s.
I read an article that worked it out. It had to be between 91 and 93, but there's something I noticed that totally displaces that we'll talk about when we get there.
We certainly will, because I watched this episode with my roommate today, who now is completely caught up with the show.
Great,
which is perfect. Great. So now we can watch it together. And he really wants to be a guest on the podcast. So that's very, very exciting. But he, we immediately when it started, we were both like, wait, what is the set? What's happening?
Yes.
This is very odd as people who lived through that era. Regardless, any cool Riverdale social media news, anything like that?
So Halloween costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Notably, Lily and Camilla were Napoleon Dynamite and his friend, Pedro.
Pedro, yeah, which is cute.
Did
you like that movie? I don't like that movie. I don't think it's funny.
It's been so long, but I recall it being fine.
Okay, good. You know, that's acceptable.
That's it. That's all I
can say. Well, we don't want to talk about the picture of KJ Apa that came out this week?
Baby KJ?
Yeah, looking all dorky.
Yeah, and then someone, like, photoshopped those teeth onto, like, current him, which was very funny.
And he loved it. He's like, it's like, I'm living for this.
And that haircut, too.
Yes, and it just shows that, you know, you can be an ugly duckling and grow into a beautiful actor.
Yes.
Very cool. Only thing I want to talk about on my side, and I can do this while Kate goes and gets her rice off the stove, because Kate's making rice. Very important for all you Riverdale fans to know, is that season 2 of the Riverdale story that I wrote, Nice Girls Finish Last, is now out on the app Yarn. So look for it on your app store. The app is called Yarn, and season 2, it is out as of 2 days ago. It's very exciting. Nice Girls Finish Last, season 2. It's even scarier than season 1. It's so scary, Kate. I got scared writing it. It was spooky. I had to, you know, drink warm milk after I wrote every episode. It was too frightening for me to be writing.
Warm milk, disgusting.
Yeah, warm milk is pretty gross. What if I'd been like, I had to comfort myself by drinking room temperature milk? Even worse.
There was no thought into it, it just left out.
Yeah, I just left it out, but it was very comforting after I was writing that series and frightening myself.
Well, yeah.
Let's get into the main event then. Episode, what is it now? Episode 30 what, Kate?
39.
Episode 39, that's right. Yeah.
Can't wait till we get to 69.
Yeah, baby. Midnight Society.
Midnight Club.
Sorry, Midnight Club. That's right.
Which is 1933 movie about some jewel thieves who have perfect alibis.
Yes, and is also clearly a reference to The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
Which this whole episode very awkwardly was.
Yeah, they tried.
They tried so hard.
So before the flashback,
yes,
we find that everyone's playing gargoyles and gun, whatever it is.
Gargoyles and groomsticks. No.
Griffins and gargoyles.
Griffins and gargoyles, that's right, yeah.
We're going to do this all night.
Yeah.
And everyone's playing it because they see it as an escape from, like, the hell town they live in.
Yes, because Riverdale, it's so difficult to live in Riverdale, apparently, which really just seems to be a pretty normal... I mean, I guess it's difficult because there's not a lot of good dining options.
Yeah, there's a lot of murder.
I guess there it's been like, I guess it's been a hard period for Riverdale.
Yeah, I'd say per capita that's a high murder rate.
Yeah, I guess it is a pretty high murder rate per capita, and especially of teenagers.
Yeah.
A lot of teens dying all the time in Riverdale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So everyone's into the game, which yes. I think is a little silly. I yes. can't imagine that a lot of those kids in that social strata would be that interested.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But whatevs. And then they're like, we're going to set up, you know, Mayor Lodge is like, we're going to set up a crisis hotline for kids and right. a support group. And Kevin's in charge.
Yes. Well, the game is now banned in Riverdale.
That's right. Yes.
And Kevin's in charge. And I don't remember what he said about it, but yeah.
Why is Kevin put in charge of all these things?
Who knows?
Yeah. Why is Kevin, like, Kevin got to direct the musical. Now he's doing this. He's, like, woefully underqualified.
But at the same time, maybe he's just, like, the most responsible of the kids.
He is responsible. He is a responsible lad when he's not cruising in the woods, which is somewhat yeah. risky behavior, you know. But, hey, I get it. We've all been there, Kevin.
Veronica makes the 20 under 20 list for Fives magazine.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Good for you, Veronica, and good for you, Riverdale writers, for it's a pretty lazy one, Fives magazine.
Yeah, it like, doesn't sound like a word.
Like, I feel like that's the sort of one that my writing partner, if I try to write it in, would have been like, no, they'll just think it's a typo.
Yeah.
You know, which is why I couldn't get away with Netflix, which I thought was really smart.
Yeah.
And he was like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we just left it as Netflix, and then the line got cut. So,
oh.
And it wouldn't have gotten cut if it had been Netflix, I don't think, but whatever. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, and then Dr. Curdle Jr., my new favorite breakout character. When are we getting our Dr. Curdle Jr. spinoff series?
My question is, why does he know, like, this one mundane case of his father from the early 90s? Like, why does he know his dad's cases?
Oh, you know, because that was probably all that they had together. Dr. Curdle was like, my boy, let's look at my old case files together. And Dr. Curdle Jr. was like, yes, sir. I know. And then Alice, pretty out of character, is like, I have to tell you what's going on, Betty. I'm going to, like, share with you what's really happening. And cut to a flashback sequence that starts with Generation X / Billy Idol's hit tune Dancing With Myself
yes.
from 1981.
Makes
which,
sense.
Which is the beginning of I don't want to be too much of a geek about this, but like so much good music they could have used and they really didn't hit the mark as to what these kids would have been listening to in this episode.
So here's how we can place this episode. There was a reference to Teen Spirit, which means it's after Smells Like Teen Spirit came out, but it's before apartheid ended.
Yes. Well, apartheid ended in 1990.
94.
Oh, really? I looked it up today and it said 90. Oh, okay. So it had to have been between 91 and 94, right? Cool. So none of the music is correct.
Correct.
And my roommate and I, during the commercial breaks for the episode, just looked up, like, what was popular in, like, the early 90s that they could have used, and it would have been really a very good soundtrack. It would have been Groove Is in the Heart by Delight.
Oh, Delight.
Yeah, Delight, or Everybody Dance Now, CNC Music Factory, Milli Vanilli, definitely early grunge, like, Smells Like Teen Spirit. Yeah, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Yeah, like that all would have been totally great to have in this. And the I thought the outfits were somewhat era appropriate.
Yeah,
but then the soundtrack was like ended at like 85. You know, it was really weird. It was, I mean, it was because it was trying to be a Breakfast Club tribute, but that's fine. Just because if it had been set earlier. Which it wasn't supposed to be said earlier, but if it had, it would have made the parents too old.
Right.
Yeah. So this dates the parents at about 46, 47, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is still a little old for parents with teenage kids.
Yeah.
Well, no, not really. No, that's actually correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
That's me in 10 years, and a lot of my friends will have teenage kids by then, so that does make sense. Yeah. Okay, cool. Anyway, glad I could rant and rave about that.
Here's a question I have.
Mm-hmm.
When did they open Southside High School? Because it does not exist here.
No, it doesn't. Southside is like a new invention based on this episode, because there's Southsiders and Northsiders.
Right, but that means Southside High School didn't exist yet. So Southside High School only existed for like 20 years.
Yeah, totally. And was apparently a bad situation for the whole time.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yes. Everything that I've written down so far is you've addressed. Like, we're very much in sync about this.
The next thing I wrote is, this is awful.
Yeah, you didn't like... Okay, so this is maybe where we differ a little bit. I thought this was really fun.
I warmed up to it.
Yeah.
But it took a long time, and I feel like what bothered me is, like, nothing happened.
Well, it's interesting because it kind of functioned as a prequel for the series.
Right, but it was all a bunch of stuff, like, we didn't learn anything new.
No, not until basically the last act.
Right.
Yeah.
And even then, I don't think it's stuff we needed to know.
We'll get to that. There was stuff I liked about it, but no, that's... It's interesting, you know, I thought it was all kind of fun. I liked seeing all the actors play the parent characters. I liked seeing KJ Apa with hair that was his real hair.
Yeah.
That was a real treat. Yeah, I loved Madeline Petch in this episode.
Yeah, I'll say what I feel about the acting in the next segment, but I do want to say this first segment ended with the, like, Saved by the Bell Riverdale.
Yes.
I did really like.
Yeah, that was great. I thought that was totally great.
Great. I'm going to check on my rice again.
Oh, Kate needs to check on her rice.
Oh, my.
Done now.
Oh, it's done now. The rice is done. Rice time.
Hello.
Hello. All right, let's get back into it. So, Act 2.
Everyone gets set up like their Breakfast Club stereotypes.
And they're not quite the same characters that we see as parents later on, you know, in their lives. And that's all kind of interesting. And then we get a major revelation in the series that is worth dissecting a little bit, which we have talked about before. Which is, how is Penelope related to the Blossoms?
Correct. Well, we're not quite there yet.
Oh, is there something else really important?
There's some checks in between. I do want to say this is when I noted that KJ was actually doing a good job, because I feel like a lot of them weren't doing a good job, like, inhabiting who those adults are.
I thought KJ killed it.
I felt like KJ was doing a good job. I felt like people were making their own characters as opposed to, like, playing this character that already exists.
Totally. And playing it based on the, like, mannerisms and performances of the adult actors.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah, but KJ did a really good job with this, I thought.
Yeah. I also will say it's weird seeing Kevin with a woman.
Totally, but I think that was part of the fun, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I felt like, just if we're going to talk about it a little bit, I think that, I think Cole Sprouse did a really good job as well.
He got there, but he started really rocky.
Yeah, but he had some mannerisms as it went on that really reminded me of what Skeet Ulrich does with the role. So, yeah.
Also, this is where he tells his story about his dad beating him, which is, like, exactly out of The Breakfast Club.
Yes.
In The Breakfast Club, it would have been the Alice character.
Yes, instead it was the... I also loved that they kept calling him Forsyth. We got his real name. Yeah, which is one of my favorite names in all of fiction, Forsyth Pendleton Jones. Loved it. Okay, then we had our revelation.
Yes.
About the Blossoms. So, fucking Cheryl, or I'm sorry, Penelope Blossom was adopted by the Blossoms.
Yeah, she was already a Blossom.
In order to be a creepy child bride for Cliff Blossom.
Correct.
Ew. How gross.
Super gross.
So, like, this explains so much. because she's always acted like she was an old member of the family. And yeah. Does this mean that Nana Rose did this? Is that who it was?
I guess so.
Yeah, so that's interesting, because Nana Rose is a little weird, right? This uh-huh. This feels kind of witchy to me that she did this.
Yeah, it's gross.
Do you think, I wonder if Nana Rose is going to be revealed to be a witch.
If anyone is, it's her.
Yeah, it's like she's going to be the key to the Sabrina crossover that is yet to be right. created. Yeah, totally. So, yeah, and I think it was right after they revealed that whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think they played Take On Me by A-ha.
I feel like Take On Me was later, but I didn't write down what it was.
I just wrote lazy music sequencing.
Yeah, I think this is maybe Everybody Wants to Rule the World. It yeah. was like in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, fucking lazy. Lazy, lazy. And this show's normally quite good at this, so it made me mad.
Yeah. This is also where we, Hermione gets back her game lad system.
Yes, her game lad system, which is amazing. And also, the teacher's name is Mrs. Crabapple.
Right, which to be fair, in The Simpsons, it's pronounced Krabapple.
Totally. And this is a great Simpsons reference among many Riverdale Simpsons references. This is yes. a good one. I like this one a lot.
I'd say it's no Lenny and Carl, but it's still pretty solid.
Yeah, it's no Lenny and Carl. No, but it's pretty funny, though, like to just yeah. call her Mrs. Crabapple, because it's also very Archie. Do you know what I yeah. mean? Like it hits that really well, that kind of that yeah. crossover. So, act three, we have Penelope the most pumped to lead the game.
Yeah.
It's just really, this is a sort of a geeky, imaginative side of Penelope that we've never seen that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I think it gives her a sense of agency that we don't see her with a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I thought that was really smart. And then, you know, she sends them off on their little adventures. She wants some chaos, and we almost yeah. have, you know, Hermione hooking up with FP.
Yeah. And Alice and Fred.
Alice and Fred have what share one kiss. Mm-hmm. And then somehow in an unexplained way, that gem is somehow put into the vending machine.
Yep.
I don't know how that happened.
No idea.
And then Alice's pregnancy shame is dealt with fairly, you know, irresponsibly.
Yeah.
For the show. Yeah. Didn't really work for me. And then they form the Midnight Club. They are all looking for costumes. They decide to all start LARPing, which yep. doesn't seem particularly realistic.
Yeah, no, I cannot believe that would really happen. No. I know one person that LARPs, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah, no, I know someone who LARPs who's, like, really into it, who's actually run LARP camps before and stuff and, like, makes money doing
Maybe
it.
The same person?
Probably.
Okay.
I think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, good lovely. For him, but it's also, like, wow.
I mean, give me a man who LARPs, you know? That's my opinion. Get me a man who LARPs. But then Reggie's dad brings fizzle rocks. What's Reggie's dad's name? I can't remember what they called him.
It started with an R.
Did it? Yeah.
I don't remember. But I mean, Reggie was the one that brought them Jingle Jangle. Now it's his dad that brought Fizzle Rocks.
Yeah, they're a drug family. They're super into drugs, that yeah. family. So they take Fizzle Rocks. And speaking of Fizzle Rocks, we just need to take a break for a moment for our sponsor.
Yeah.
Speaking of Fizzle Rocks, you know, this is a paid sponsorship, but Fizzle Rocks gave us some sample Fizzle Rocks, not as in the street drug Fizzle Rocks taken by the kids, but the candy Fizzle Rocks that it was named after. And I had some this week. And, you know, this isn't just the endorsement talking. They were sweet. They popped in my mouth. They fizzed in my mouth, one would say. I mixed them with some seltzer. That was quite good.
Here's a fun true story. One time my dog started licking Fizzle Rocks.
Yes, Fizzle Rocks, yes.
And she was not a fan.
Yeah, I'm sure she wouldn't like that very much. Yeah,
but she kept trying anyway.
But we like them here on XOXO Riverdale, so check them out. Fizzle Rocks. They're available at www.fizzlerocks.com.
And their slogan is, of course, yum, 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 yum.
All right. Back to the show recap. Thank you for listening to that. Okay, Act 4.
The Fredhead.
This had a bunch of things in it that I really liked that were only for me to enjoy. So, thing number one, the way they dressed FP in his outfit is basically a variation of the way that Jughead is dressed in the Archie's cartoon, which is great, with a crown and a vest. And then we almost got, with the Fredheads, the classic Archie lineup. And that's really exciting.
Here's something to say about this. Is this a cover song or is this an original?
This is a cover. And the cover was very exciting as well. The cover is a song called Dream Warriors by a band called Dokken. And it was written for a little-known film called Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
Great.
So,
someone is revealed to not really live on Elm Street.
Sorry. Yeah, that's right. Someone was revealed to not. So that there were two Elm Street references in this episode. And Dream Warriors. So Dream Warriors is from, I think, 86, 87. Great. So it's out of date for this episode. But it's it has a great video starring Freddy Krueger and Dokken, who are like a hair metal band.
Yeah.
My opinion, I loved this, and I thought this was so fun and so specific. This was my favorite part of the episode, by far, hands down.
I think it was one of the better musical numbers we've gotten.
Totally, and it's because it was, veered on sort of the obscure and weird and appropriate, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, okay, we're gonna sing, you know, I Feel Love, you know, which is also one of the better covers, you know, but I loved this. This was super, super fun. The only, just for trivia purposes, the Reggie character should have been on bass, but instead it was Josie's mom on bass.
Yes,
that was the only anachronistic thing, you know, aspect that we didn't have the Archie's lineup. That was the only thing. But it was great. It was super fun. Oh, and also, in the original Archies, Betty plays the tambourine and Ronnie plays the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
So that was flipped as well. We had, anyway, great. Also, I forgot to say this before. I'm really happy that we have another little guest appearance from Major Kurta in this episode.
Yeah.
Just because I think he's really good and I'm sad he's not going to be on the show anymore that much.
Yeah. I was excited when I saw his name in the credits.
Yeah, I was pumped about it too. And then we had, you know, Flip for Your Fate written all over the bathroom.
Right.
Which freaks Alice out.
And also disappears by the next morning.
Yeah, disappears by the next morning. And also, Alice sees the Gargoyle King. And she's the only one that didn't take fizzy rocks.
Right.
So she's not hallucinating.
Correct.
I still think Gargoyle King is some sort of person in a costume.
Yeah, and I think it's the same person.
You think the same person was doing it then as is doing it now?
Yes.
That's fair. We will see. And then, this made me mad, I went home and called the Midnight Club all night. How did she phone them? How did she call them?
On a landline? Yeah, they would have just waked their families.
Yeah, exactly. They were just waking up their families, and she knew that they were all at the school.
Yeah.
So why would she be calling them all night?
Yeah, it's bonkers.
That was really strange to me. And then Fred's dad died while Fred was playing Griffins and Gargoyles.
Yeah.
Which is very sad and very character development-y. And Fred feels guilt, and I get it. And then we learned that Principal Featherhead is missing.
Yes. Anthony Michael Hall. We have not mentioned that that's Anthony Michael Hall from The Breakfast
Club. Oh, yeah. It's Anthony Michael Hall from The Breakfast Club, who I love, who I wrote a paper on in college.
He's great.
Anthony Michael Hall. Yeah.
Oh, that's
he's a great actor. Yeah. I love Anthony Michael Hall. And then we see the flip where Penelope says, we can never reveal what is happening. We can never speak about this. And it's sort of the beginning of her being terrible.
Yeah.
You know, And we also learned that Dilton's father was named Daryl, which I love. Daryl Doily. Oh, man, I love that. And it is a mystery who invited them to their ascension party.
Right. None of them.
So it'll be revealed. And then I thought this was strong. Then we sort of get to see their transformations into the characters that we have met.
Sure.
And what I liked about it, I was thinking about this today after watching it. I just want to say one thing about it before we move on. It actually justifies some of the parents' weird behavior in other seasons.
Yes. We did skip ahead. First of all, I want to note that I think Casey Cott was doing a good job by this point in the episode.
Yes. Yes, I agree with that.
When Fred sells his guitar, he's paid in new $20 bills. $20 bills changed in like 2008.
My roommate Marty noticed that as well. He went, "Those bills are new." Yep.
Yes, I wrote down new 20s.
Yeah, like art department.
So easy.
So this whole thing happening with this set of characters would definitely explain why at the beginning of the series, Alice was like, "I don't want you hanging out with those people."
Yeah.
And that is good writing, because that was such a strange aspect to the show when it started.
Yeah. I will also say in here is when we got to see the guy who played Jason back, which I like kind of missed him.
Totally. Yeah. He was,
yeah.
I think it was also like one of his like first or second spoken lines in the series, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool too. And it was cool to see him back. I agree. And also, oh my God, Penelope, that's not the way to react to this. Jesus.
Girl.
Yeah, girl, honey.
Girl.
And then, but I guess it also would explain if she was not romantic with anybody until she was romantic with her adoptive brother, mm-hmm. I guess it would explain why maybe last season she was having so much fun sort of breaking out sexually. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, although I didn't love the way this series handled all that, you know, when they were like, they kind of looked at, like, it was sort of like, oh, she's a prostitute. But maybe it was her just being like, I haven't really been with a lot of men, and I'd really think that would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If she grew up kind of a geeky girl in high school and then only had, like, one partner. Yeah, totally. So I thought that was all kind of interesting. I wish that Mark Consuelos' son had been in the episode more. Just because I thought that was so fun to see a young version of Mark Consuelos who was his son, you know?
Yeah,
he had like three lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking he was going to be part of the story, you know?
Yeah, a little
sad when he wasn't. I liked sort of the aspects of the fact that Tom and I can never remember the characters. Yeah. Thank you, Kate.
Yeah.
How they were having an interracial relationship and it was freaking people out and they couldn't deal with it.
The early 90s where I guess, it was less commonplace than now, but it's not as like intense as if it were the like 70s or 80s.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I liked that. I thought that was cool. And then FP's dad gives him a beer. And then he starts drinking, and we know how that all went for him.
Yeah.
And that was cool. Like, I liked that. I liked seeing that shift. And him taking off his varsity jacket and putting on his serpent's jacket.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, he can't escape his fate, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Act 5, this all was okay. Like, you know, Alice sort of said the game gives you permission to live your demons, which is, it's okay. It's not like my favorite, I don't know. It feels a little sort of wishy-washy to me writing wise.
Yeah. Wasn't a strong finish in that aspect. And then the stinger was really strong.
Yeah. The stinger was strong. Yeah. I did like something that she said, just before we get to the stinger, how she said, well, was it a murder or was it a suicide? And Alice said, it doesn't matter. You know, yeah. The only thing that matters with that game is death. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm wondering if maybe the farm is a death cult of some sort, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe it has to do something with they feel they gain their power from the deaths of children, you know?
Yeah.
Or just death, because I guess it was the principal who ended up drinking the cup, which is also not explained yet, which I'm sure is going to come back, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, so we'll see. Like, sort of one of my hopes, honestly, is that this Griffins and Gargoyles stuff gets wrapped up mostly within the next few episodes, and then the rest of the season is dealing more with the cult, and we sort of get two mysteries stacked on top of each other. But done in a more elegant way than the Chick debacle from last year.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you know. But anyway.
Chick is back in fetus form.
Chick is back in fetus form?
Yeah, he was in the episode.
Oh. Yes, but no, you know what, though? That isn't that character, though. That's who...
Right. It's the idea of Chick.
Yeah, because Chick is not Chick. Chick is some other guy.
Right.
Yeah, the creepy, creepy, crazy man. And then we have the stinger, where it looks like Jughead has been completely taken over by the game.
Yes, with a couple of the serpents.
Yeah, now, yeah, including Cheryl.
Yeah.
But I don't want a few episodes or even one episode of deprogramming Jughead. I'm not interested.
No, I'm not into it.
Yeah, so we'll see, like, how they handle that. I'm hoping that it's that he's, like, one step ahead, and he's infiltrating and figuring out. When he says, I can meet the Gargoyle King, mm-hmm. he's playing the game all the way through in order for the Gargoyle King to appear so he can catch the Gargoyle King. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see, though. We'll see. But it was a good stinger, I agree.
Yeah.
So, overall, it sounds like I liked the episode a little more than you.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it also sounds like we kind of have very similar complaints with it.
Yeah.
But I definitely thought it was, like, a fun change of pace, and I did like seeing all those actors play their parents' characters.
Even if they didn't really do it well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'd welcome this done again in the series, mm-hmm. but I'd love to see a proper early 90s episode, especially with it, you know, especially with, like, so many of the people on the show, like Jason Priestley, you know, or sorry, Luke Perry. I think Jason Priestley's going to be on the show as well.
That's is he?
Yes, I have a feeling they're going to hire him.
Oh,
to
there's
play.
No, like, there's no rumblings. You just decided.
No. Have you read the, No. I've read rumors that they're going to hire him to play Everhart.
Ever Never.
Yeah, whatever. Like, I know this show. I only do a podcast about it. Ever Never. Yeah.
I would be very into that.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be such good casting?
That would be so fun.
And get fucking Shannon Doherty in there. I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, what's her face? You know, the producer's daughter. She can be in it too. Tori Spelling.
Tori Spelling, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, overall I liked it, but I mean, get rid of all the 80s garbage. Like, I don't get, you know, I, you know, love new wave music. I can go on and on about it forever. I'm a big fan of films from that era. It just wasn't appropriate for this episode.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was... I guess they just really had their heart set on doing this John Hughes tribute and using the music from his movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, powerless crush list. Who do you have?
My number one power is Gargoyle King.
Okay, cool.
The one that set up the game, so I think that was him.
Mm-hmm.
Then Penelope.
Mm-hmm.
Alice.
Mm-hmm.
Doily, what was it? Daryl Doily.
Probably the only time he'll make the power list.
Yeah, Hermione and FP.
Cool. Yeah. I only have a few people on my list.
Okay.
I only have three. I have Hermione at the top. because she's the one that found the game in the first place.
Okay.
Then I have Penelope. And then I have Alice.
Okay.
Who's on your crush list?
Interestingly, it's weird to say, but Tom, Fred, and Alice.
Tom Keller, Fred Andrews, and Alice Cooper.
Alice Smith.
Yeah, Alice Smith. Yeah. Yeah, I had Fred.
Okay.
Daryl Doily.
Uh-huh.
And Penelope.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, they can all get it.
Yeah, I should say number one in the power rankings is still Vegas.
Is Vegas unborn?
Unborn Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, you know, a bit of a shorter episode, but I really feel we covered it, Kate.
Yeah. We can talk about next week, episode 40.
Yeah, what's it called?
The Great Escape.
Cool. I wish it was called The Great Muppet Caper.
Very different plots.
Yeah, totally.
The Great Escape is a Steve McQueen movie about escaping a German camp in World War II.
Yes. So this is going to be Archie breaks out of jail. And then at the end of the episode, there's going to be some sort of mea culpa that's going to allow him to stay out of jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen here. Yeah. Whatever.
Which is fine. I'm happy to get him out of jail.
Get him the fuck out of jail. Also, we had a shot of Cheryl with a bow and arrow, which is always exciting. Mm-hmm. I hope who do you hope she's shooting? I've got some people.
I don't know. Maybe she shoots the Gargoyle King.
Maybe she shoots. That'd be great. Cheryl versus the Gargoyle King?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love it if she was shooting the Gargoyle King. Yeah, there's some other people in the news this week that I won't mention that I'd love for Cheryl to be holding a bow and arrow too, but whatever.
Hi, Karamba.
I know. Anyway. Well, Kate, as always, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you to Alicia Camden, our editor.
Yeah, thank you to Louis Aronowitz, our theme songster. And thanks to all of you guys who are listening and sticking with us. And we're having a really fun time doing this. Follow us on XOXO River Pod on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram at XOXO River. I don't remember. What is it again on Instagram now?
XOXO River Pod.
XOXO River Pod. Yep. And XOXO River, I think it's XOXO Riverdale Pod on Tumblr. And on Facebook, you can find us. Yeah, find us all those things. Hit us up. Chat with us. We love it when people chat with us. It's very nice.
It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to next episode that will be set back in the present day.
Yes, the quote-unquote present, because it's timeless.
Yes, exactly. All right, pals and gals, remember to eat your fizzy rocks. I'm Louis Perlman.
And Pete Batter.
And this is XOXO Riverdale.